The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hi, this is former Pro Bowl center for the Buffalo Bills, Eric Wood, and you're listening to Nate and the Fellas on the Circling the Wagons podcast. Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. Go Bills.
Welcome to the Circling the Wagons podcast, a podcast discussing the Bills all year round with interviews, news, recaps, and insightful fan discussion. Most times, here's your host and lifelong Bills fan, Nate.
Hey, Bills Mafia, welcome to another episode of Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast. This is our recap episode. I'm your host, Nate, and we're going to discuss the Buffalo Bills' loss to the Cincinnati Bengals 24-18 on primetime Sunday Night Football. We're going to go over our thoughts on the game, some stats of the game. Sweet set. I don't know if we'll keep the format like we usually do in this one. We'll see if time permits, but maybe some sweet sassy molassy plays of the game, our Wall of Fame and Wall of Shame, and maybe some tweets. We'll see. We'll see if we get around to it. First, this episode is brought to you by the Twin Spires Sportsbook at DeLago, at the DeLago Resort and Casino in Waterloo, New York. John, I'm joined by my co-host, John and Mike. Fellas, I'll start with you, John. How are you doing, man?
I feel disgusted.
Is it because you just looked at the playoff picture for the Buffalo Bills after that one?
No, just in general.
It's a late night. You're tired. The Bills just lost a game. Man, they had that 2-point conversion at the end. They just gave you a little bit of hope. You're like, all they needed to do is score again, and they got this one.
Too little, too late. There's like 3 minutes left. Why didn't they do an onside? They had one timeout. That didn't even make any sense.
So John's doing well. Mike, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Happy to be here with you.
Happy to have you. So excited. What about Mike, you like really close games. This was kind of a close game, right? So
yeah,
you enjoyed it. You know, I thought of you. Mine was just off topic. Go ahead.
No, I thought they were gonna do it, man.
I know.
And then they blew that time out. They wasted it. Who is calling down to McDermott and saying challenge that catch?
I know. What about speaking of plays that killed us, how about that Dalton Kincaid fumble and like the 15-yard line of the Bengals when they were driving? Like, ah.
I feel like people were defending him, and I won't defend him. That was not a smart play. Like a catch or two before when he just goes horizontal with the earth and Superman, right? Like, mm-hmm. It's when you see that, you're like, it's only a matter of time.
To someone punches that ball out.
Or even hitting the ground, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. It's like Diggs. I have no problem with like yards after the catch are awesome, but it does not make sense to fight for every single yard when you're down two touchdowns and time's running against you, right? You need a touchdown.
Right. The time management was an issue. The coaching was an issue. The penalties were an issue. The refereeing was an issue, in my opinion. So what I was going to say, Mike, is I thought of you because somebody tweeted out about simulation, and we always joke around this podcast, like, you know, maybe we're in a simulation, which we we definitely might be in a simulation. We're all living in this whoever simulation. And someone said, if this is truly a simulation, can they please change it so that the Bills stop getting so many injuries? This one. And it's like, another, like Terrell Bernard went down in the first quarter. Like the Bills defense just keep taking hit after hit. And they only allow 24. So you put the blame on the team. I mean, all facets need blame. All facets need blame in this loss. I mean, it wasn't just one. But to me, I keep
Let me say this. One positive thing, if it were a simulation, right? Like if you've, when was the last Madden you had? 2004? Like when you won, you kind of stopped playing. Like if you were in franchise mode or Bills, like once you won, you're like, oh, I've done this. You don't immediately start back over from square one, right? It's like you kind of, you give up, you stop playing. So like if in our simulation, like let's just say for the sake of argument, it's my simulation and you guys are the NPCs. And the Bills win it all. The kid controlling it is just going to power it down and go eat dinner. Like maybe it's for the best. We don't win it. If you want to put a positive spin on it.
In my simulation, the Bills will go undefeated 50 years in a row.
Yeah. And who would continue on with that? You would be dead.
I would do it.
Or.
But it would be like a hobby. You know, I'd be doing my regular stuff, but that would be, that particular simulation would be my hobby.
Winning every single thing would be so boring.
No, I don't know.
We're assuming that's
a version of hell.
I don't know. I think winning everything would be great.
And we're assuming that this one simulation is based on, has anything to do with the NFL and how these games shake out, as opposed to like, it might have to do with like Israel and Palestine, or it might have to do with like any other thing like global pandemics. Like
well, the NFL games are rigged anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Dude, it definitely felt that way.
At least in this simulation.
That's, Mike, you were talking about like things ending, like, oh, kids got to go to dinner. Remember you telling me a story about how your mom used to turn the PlayStation off on you when you weren't listening and you'd lose all the saved data and you flying into a rage? Didn't that happen once?
Sure, it did. I don't remember specifically.
How could you not remember that? I thought you told me that. You're just like, I was just about to turn it off and I lost all the progress I made. I look forward to doing that to my children someday. I told you to get your butt up for dinner. Anyway, on a positive note, Josh Allen, if you want to play.
I think you're dating yourself. Like, people don't play single player campaigns where they don't save. Anymore, right?
Yeah, definitely dating my. Yeah, I didn't say we weren't. I wasn't dating myself, I guess.
Yeah, now the saves are like automatic. Like every 5 seconds, you see the little spinning circle. Oh, saving.
They didn't have lawsuits against them or something or whatever it was. And I didn't even say PlayStation 2. I think I just said PlayStation. So it's the original. That definitely dates ourselves. If you had to put blame on this game, I guess where do you start? Because I feel like a lot of the blame could go around to all different parts of the ball.
The offense.
Offense, right? Mostly. Still offense, right? Because offense isn't missing five starters like the defense is. I keep on coming back to that.
And even still, they're still playing pretty okay. Like
holding the Bengals to 24 points, I think, is a win, right, for the defense?
Yeah, like all these games that they're losing or not playing well in, it's not because of the defense.
I saw people like on social media, on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, were like, oh, this defense can't seem to get a stop. And I'm like, Josh Allen just gave the ball right back to the other team, like one play after the defense finally got off the field. You know, that at halftime, it was like 21 minutes to 9 minutes of possession between the Bengals and the Bills. And I'm like, that's not sustainable. Like they're not sustaining drives. They're not, you know. They're turning the ball over at that point. I was like, this isn't on the defense. The defense isn't playing great, but they were still missing Terrell Bernard at that point. They're missing, you know, Tre'Davious White, Matt Milano, Daquan Jones. Like, I mean, we could get into it, but.
Yeah, two turnovers to zero, and they lost by six. Like, that's it.
One of those turnovers doesn't happen, and we might be talking a different game, potentially. Probably not, but but you never know. All right, let's go into stats of the game real quick. Josh Allen, 26 for 38, 258 yards, one touchdown, one interception. He was also the leading rusher for the Bills, 8 attempts, 44 yards, one touchdown rushing. Stephon Diggs, leading receiver for the Buffalo Bills, 6 receptions on 7 targets, 86 yards, 1 touchdown, that touchdown at the end of the game, and also had the 2-point conversion at the end of the game. Dalton Kincaid, 10 receptions on 11 targets for 81 yards, and also had that fumble that we mentioned earlier. Khalil Shakir, 4 receptions on 4 targets for 57 yards, no touchdowns. Mike Tirico saying, Khalil Shakir looking... making moves like Shakira, and I'm just like, oh, Mike, don't do that. That's
pretty forced.
That's yeah, that was a rough one. So those were on the Bills side of the ball. On the Bengals side of the ball, Joe Burrow was 31 for 44, 348 yards, 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. He looked good, minus that index finger injury where his finger was a little bit bloody and it looked like it affected it a little bit. He looked really good tonight. Joe Mixon, leading rusher, 14 attempts for 37 yards and 1 touchdown. T. Higgins, leading receiver for the Bengals, 8 receptions on 9 targets for 110 yards. And then Tyler Boyd, Jamar Chase, I mean, he was the 4th leading receiver. He was held to only 41 yards, 4 receptions on 8 targets, but still not enough tonight. Let's see, I got a few more stats. Actually, that's it. Not a whole lot of good things to go over tonight. So those were stats of the game brought to you by the Twin Spire Sportsbook at DeLago. If you want to talk Gettysburg of the game, I mean, the Bills never led at any point, so I don't necessarily know if there was a turning point specifically.
But I feel like the Kincaid fumble was huge. Bills were rolling. Bengals couldn't stop them.
It was what, like only 21-10 at that point, right? The Bills were rolling. Yeah, they were down to the 10-15-yard line, and yeah, I agree. If you had to pin one specific play where it just, and you could just look on Dalton Kincaid's face, he's like, man, I don't drop anything except that time. do you have a play of the game? Is there a play of the game, or is it doesn't even, like, who cares, right? I mean, the Stephon Diggs touchdown, I mean, just, it just felt too little too late. Like, I wanted to enjoy it. The Stephon Diggs, that one slippery play in the beginning of the game where it was just like a screen pass and he ended up going for like 34 yards. That was an exciting play. But not enough of that. I saw an interesting stat. They were like, they had 85 yards for that first touchdown drive that the Bills had, and then they only had like 37 yards the rest of the half after that one, which was just, it was disappointing. You can't do this. You can't have this kind of game against the Bengals and expect to win. You can't have a game where you turn the ball over twice and they don't turn the ball over at all. At least you could say compared to the divisional playoff game last year, they were actually able to get pressure on Joe Burrow, but how much did it really matter? He had almost 350 yards passing. So how much did they really stop him, you know? Just bend but don't break. I mentioned time of possession earlier. It ended up being, I gave you first half time of possession stats. At the end of the game, it was a little bit closer. It was 36 minutes to 23 minutes for the Bengals to the Bills. There were penalties. It only ended up being 5 penalties for 49 yards for the Bills, but they ended up being early in the game. I did enjoy Josh Allen pointing to the one DB that he, on that first touchdown run when he ran across, because he kind of psyched him out with that pass. I did like that. I did. I was like, I approve of this penalty. I like that one. But the Tim Settle roughing the passer penalty, that was unsettling, if we're going to be honest. It was a clean hit. I don't think it mattered in the grand scheme of things, but that was annoying.
I see what you did there.
Thanks, John. It's not too late that we don't get these ripe puns.
Stuck out to me. I remember like it was like 7 minutes left in the second quarter, I think, and it was 7-14, and the Bengals were driving, and it felt like, oh man, if they score here, it's just at that point, it felt like any time you touched the ball, you were scoring, and if you fell behind, you were in trouble. But Joseph, the new defensive tackle? It was second and inches, and he he got Burrow, and I don't see that a tackle like that too often. He grabbed him in such a way and threw him back, and so the Bengals didn't get it. And then it was third and inches; they got a holding penalty. And the Bills defense swarmed them, and on the next one, and Burrow like ran for a first down, but it got called back. But and then it got to like 3rd and 15, and that knocked him out. But it seemed like at that point it was a foregone conclusion until Joseph groin tackled him.
groin tackled him. Kind of looked like he was trying to like tie up a steer, like with the legs or something, like how you see, like, I don't know, guys in the rodeo or whatever, like try to tie up a steer, like just grab him by the legs. And he almost gave him the Christian Wilkins. Have you ever seen that play that Christian Wilkins did? So where he had the arm position, his hand position as he was tackling Burrow to the ground by the groin area, like, there's this, I mean, you'll have to Google it because it's like Christian Wilkins did it in college. He plays for the Dolphins now, as we all know. But in college, like there was like a guy on the ground and Christian Wilkins came up from behind him, grabbed him in the area, like as he was walking by and yanked.
Oh, yeah. It was just like, right, right.
What? So Linval Joseph kind of did his, like, I mean, it wasn't dirty or anything, but he grabbed him in such a way. That was a good call, Mike. I forgot about that play for a second. You know,
but I think if we could take one positive thing out of this game, it's like when the trade deadline approaches, like it's of course the good that the Bills are buyers and not sellers, right? But there's always that when with GMs, like always a little bit of an information asymmetry, right? Because like, why are other teams getting rid of these players? Like, we don't know everything that they know. So you have to be a little leery. But the moves that the Bills made, like Joseph and I think Douglas, like the Packers fans, like were so torn up about losing, like heart and soul of their defense, like playmaker, like ball hot, like, man, to get on the field tonight with such a quick turnaround, like I think that bodes really, really well.
Yeah,
so I'm excited to see that the new guys got out there so quick.
Yeah, we didn't talk about that because we haven't talked since the trade deadline. But yeah, it was good to see. I mean, I love their pickups. I mean, like you mentioned about the Packers fans not liking it. I think that's one of my like litmus tests of was this a good trade or not, or are we getting a good player? Are the fans of that team like, oh man, that stinks? Or are they just like, meh, whatever, like take them, you know? And I think it was
you
very
love
telling.
A good Schadenfreude.
Oh,
you could live on that alone.
I could just eat up all the Schadenfreude, the misery, right? Like, like it's just the misery of another team's is my joy. Isn't Schadenfreude mostly like having to do with like morbid, like death things, or is it just anyone's misery about anything?
Taking joy in somebody else's misfortune.
I wouldn't say I was taking joy in it, but it was definitely a way, a barometer of measuring, you know, was this a good thing or not? Yeah. Validation. Like, is this guy good? Looking at the comments under like the Adam Schefter tweet and all the Packers fans are like, what?
Yeah. So, like if they had to lose somebody, like that's the last guy they wanted to lose. Yeah. And to give up nothing, essentially.
Exactly. For sure. And then you mentioned the Linval Joseph signing. That looked good. That one play specifically. It's like, oh, good. We have like a guy that kind of reminds us of Daquan Jones, a guy that can, you know, a big dude that can make plays for us. And then the other signing was Leonard Fournette, although he's on the practice squad for now, so we didn't see much of him. But no, we didn't see any of him because he's on the practice squad right now. But yeah, good call there, Mike.
You know, John, the other thing I find annoying is Chris Collinsworth.
No, I've never heard anyone say that. Continue, please.
Oh, that's it.
That's it. Okay.
Well, I'll tie two things together. Chris Collinsworth, was it him talking about Von Miller and all the Bills want is for him to get right, you know, 5 or 6 games before the play. Like, no, I want him right now. If he's on the field, what does running 10, 15 yards behind the quarterback do? Does nothing.
Dude, he is elite at that this season so far. Going around the edge, like it was even in that last play where Joe Mixon got the first down, right? Mm-hmm. Like he couldn't do it. He's not there yet. To me, it's I feel like he's eating into snaps of players that could like make an impact. Leonard Floyd, Greg Rousseau, AJ Epinesa's have an amazing year. Like, I feel like every time he's on the field, it's less time for them to make an impact. And I know they're ramping him up, and I don't know if there's a way to ramp him up with just like waiting another 4 weeks and then letting him play like most of the snaps or whatever. I feel like it's
ramp
not doing...
him in practice or something.
exactly. You know, I wrote that, and for the most part, a lot of people agreed with me over Twitter. But the you know, a few people are just like, it takes a long time to recover from an ACL. It's like, yeah, I know. Give him more time then. If he's not ready, you know, like, why does it have to be like 30, 40 snaps a game? Why can't it be like 10, 15, you know? He's just not ready, and that's fine. He doesn't have to be ready yet, but don't take snaps away from the healthy guys. John, thoughts on Von Miller real quick before we change topics on something else.
So are we in agreement that the Bills should just tank for a higher draft pick at this point?
So the Bills are 5-4 right now, ninth place in the AFC. They have the Broncos next week, the Jets the week after.
Broncos are a win. Jets are a win, right back in it.
Yeah. Yeah, then you're looking at 7-4, right? So
perfect. Right back in what?
Look at the rest of the AFC though. Look at the Chiefs and the Dolphins. Like, the Dolphins didn't look great in Germany at all. And then look at even the Chiefs, even though they won, they needed their defense to bail them out. Like, that wasn't like a Patrick Mahomes, like, he just had like 400. He had 185 yards.
Don't look great. You're talking about teams that are ahead of us.
Yeah, and they're just barely winning. They just don't, like, the Ravens.
And we're
like,
just,
the Ravens are a good
barely team. Losing. Like,
yeah, so we could just flip.
What's the point?
They could start barely losing and we could start barely winning.
But the Bills haven't made any changes.
Yeah, not on offense. I'm still...
Even with like 11 personnel, like, they're still doing like same old.
I was hoping to see a lot more up-tempo offense like they had against the Buccaneers. And they showed it for like later in the game when they were down. You know, that's when we started to see the Thanksgiving Day football, you know, run to the line of scrimmage and call some plays. And then they were like, oh, they're moving the ball. They look great, you know. I mean, the Bills really didn't run the ball a whole lot this game. They had 8 carries by running backs today. It felt like it was so many more, though. Do we even want to do a wall of fame, wall of shame, or do you want to just read some hot takes from listeners? Because, I mean, there's not a whole lot to put on the wall of fame.
Hot take, they're not going to make the playoffs. John's
already, woo. John's in a mood for the... I'm not ready to say that. I see where you're going, and I understand that. I'm not ready to say that yet. I still think they'd make the playoffs. That is a hot take, though. That's hot. Now they lose another 3 games in a row. That won't be a hot take. That'll just be that's probably going to happen take.
Bills miss the playoffs, and the Dolphins and Jets are both in.
That is a hot take. I don't think that happens, John. I think the Bills still make the playoffs.
Zach Wilson makes the playoffs over the Bills. Hot take.
John, you're in a funk. It's mostly because we just saw this happen. And we're getting on.
I think
to
it's
record.
Called spiraling.
Spiraling. Do we need to, John? Do we text you in the morning to make sure everything's okay? Your mental health going to be okay? We can talk. Let's vent about it. This is the time. Don't hold it in. Like, what's really bothering you about this team? Is it everything? It's everything, isn't it? Speaking of spiraling, Mike, you don't seem down. You seem like you're in a decent place. You think we're just a few games out?
I had a lot of fun watching.
No, I didn't have that much fun watching. It didn't look like one of those games, though, where I thought the Bills were going to come back. Did you get that feeling at all during the game where you're like, oh, the Bills can still, even when they were down by 6 points, I'm like, a lot of things have to go right for the Bills, right? And a lot of things have to go wrong for the Bengals that have not gone wrong. Like, remember that 3rd and 7 the Bengals had, and you're like, oh, the Bills could hold them to a field goal. And then instead of just getting the first down, they get a touchdown. He dumps it off to like the tight end who everyone forgot was even on the offense. And then he just runs for 22 yards, score a touchdown. They go up 21-7. You're like, oh, that sucks.
You know, in a way, it's worse than the drought Bills, because the drought Bills, you would expect it.
This is kind of more of a dagger, right?
Yeah, it's like, oh, they have a good team. We should be winning games.
So is that one of the reasons why you want to say that the Bills are going to lose and not make the playoffs? Because because your expectations are now shifting, right?
And look at the teams that they did beat, right? Like the Giants, they should have lost that game.
Mm-hmm. The Bucks, they could have lost that game very easily.
Yeah, that was questionable too.
Yeah,
what's their expected wins based on like how they played this year? Probably less than whatever the record is now, 5-4.
Yeah, I mean, they have a tough schedule. I'm pretty sure someone talked about that in the hot takes. Let's just read some hot takes. Let's see what we got here. This is a chance for like listeners and followers to vent, right? Like, so I asked, you know, on Twitter, you know, instead of doing Wall of Fame, Wall of Shame, who's on your Wall of Fame, Wall of Shame? Because there was a lot of redundancies there. I guess, what's your hot take after this one? Scott, can Martin Wright, McDermott takes over the offensive play calling too, LOL. Buffalo Dill, yeah. Yeah, I still say offense. Mike, we didn't ask you what your where you put the blame on this loss. Offense, defense, special teams, everything, coaching, all someone, maybe Josh Allen, where do you put it?
Man, I think to lose by six with that Kincaid fumble, and it seemed like it, so many calls. I hate blaming the refs, and I really wish there was a way to make the game less subjective, you know, but so many calls went against the Bills that would have turned it.
And it felt like some of those plays didn't get called.
The intentional grounding on Allen, the tripping, taking down Kincaid, like the baseball slide into Kincaid, the face mask on Gabriel Davis in the end zone that was a no call.
Yeah.
It was just so many that would have changed the game dramatically.
You're right. The referees should belong on the Wall of Shame. I forgot about that slide tackle that Taylor Britt had on Kincaid. Yeah, where it was just like you could see the referee and the replay in the background just watching the play, just watching and not throwing the flag. I'm like, how is that not? And you know what stinks is instead of it ended up being it was like a 4-yard play, that would have given the Bills first and 10 on the Bengals 27-yard line with 50 seconds left, right? They might have had a timeout or two. I can't remember. They burned a lot of timeouts too quickly in this game. So I think they might have had one timeout, but still, like they went from having to punt and getting no points to possibly getting three before halftime, right? That was an awful call. The non-face mask you mentioned on Gabriel Davis in the end zone. If that call was against the Bills, they would have called that one easily. It's just be consistent. If you're going to call all these ticky-tack things, I felt like there were some that could have, some intentional grounding calls that could have been against Joe Burrow too, you know? Buffalo Dill.
So, like, I guess what I'm saying, like, I'm not it's disappointing that they didn't pull it out at the end, but they were at home. We always say home team gets a couple points, right? Like, it just twists. If you play that game 10 times, it seems like they're fairly evenly matched. And that's with Bills running out a skeleton crew on offense. Like,
yeah.
And the injuries kill you, but it's not like we lost Allen for the year, you know, like, or Diggs, or like, lost some incredibly important, but like Milano is just, man, what a terrible loss, especially a game like this.
And then Bernard tonight, it's just one thing after another, but you're right. I mean, Josh Allen's still like, I mean, I know he's injured in his shoulder, but he's still slinging it. Stephon Diggs is still there. Deion Dawkins is still there. Their offensive line is intact. They're just missing Dawson Knox, which I don't know if that might be addition by subtraction. I don't know for sure, but, what's their excuse?
But if they play it in Buffalo, do you think it's 50-50? Play 10 times, Bills win 5? Yeah, like it wasn't a 50-0 loss. And like the Bills handily like beat up a Miami, right? And in today's game, Dolphins and Chiefs, it seems like they're the toast of the AFC and go right down to the wire. So
did you know that in the AFC standings, the Houston is a half a game behind us and the Colts and Raiders are only one game behind us?
Well, now I know. Feels like we should be a little bit. I mean, the Texans are playing good ball. I just got to like talk up all the teams that are right behind us. Look at the Raiders. Just fired their head coach. They're trending up.
And there's only four teams after that. Like, that's it.
Oh, gotcha. That's the end of the AFC. I was hoping there'd be another 10 teams.
Chargers, Titans, Broncos, Patriots. And we lost to the Patriots, the last team in the AFC.
Just say no to turf, writes, this loss wasn't on the defense or even the god-awful officiating. Hot take. Eric Helwig writes, Dorsey has successfully turned the Bills into a mediocre offense for a 500 team. Congrats, Dorsey. Bartman writes, if I consistently underperform at my job, I get fired. I wish that concept translated to the world of professional football. It might after this year. Do you think Dorsey's on the hot seat? I feel like he kind of is now. Like if this season doesn't go well and the Bills continue to underperform on offense, I think Dorsey gets the boot, especially if like what happens in what John was saying, like if the Bills miss the playoffs, I think Dorsey's gone. I mean, especially if Josh isn't completely, the only saving grace would be if like Josh gets injured for a few games and then it's like, oh, that's why they missed the playoffs. Okay, we'll give Dorsey another chance. But at this point, I have a hard time saying that he's not on the hot seat. If I'm McDermott and I'm looking at this team each and every week, it's like, you know, they had two or three blowout games where they looked amazing on offense, but that's it. So 3 out of 8 games, they looked amazing. And then the other, well, I guess it's 9 games at this point. So 3 out of 9 games, they looked really good. And then the other 6 out of 9 games, they looked, I'd say, subpar for the most part, the offense. And you know they're not playing 6 of the top defenses. There's definitely a couple of good defenses in there for sure, but not 6 of them. Oh, you mean the team that the Raiders, who just fired their head coach, beat the Giants 30-6? Yeah, that team the Bills just barely beat at the last second. That Giants team? Yes.
You were talking about Benford earlier. He had a hamstring. That's why he missed some time during the game.
Oh, gotcha. Thank you. So even more excuses for the defense, and they still played a hell of a game. Only 24 points. They're missing, at that point, they're missing their starting two corners in White and Benford, and their middle linebacker, and then Milano, and then Daquan Jones, and they have half of Von Miller still, you know, so.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Jamie D'Amico writes, co-host for the Jamie D and Big Newt podcast and the Believe podcast, could have been a different ending without the Kincaid fumble. Yeah. This team, Big R, says this team isn't poised to make playoffs with the craziness of upcoming schedule. Yeah, you saw that schedule. It looks rough. Looks rough. This was one of those games, though, luckily. I mean, we didn't necessarily see the Bills winning this game, but Guru Eric writes, the defense will never be good enough to do anything in the playoffs. If they make it, it's old. Miller has been a bust for Buffalo, and it's going to set the team back. Eh. They did pour a lot of money into it. I still give him the benefit of the doubt. I just, you know, I want him to be right. Like Mike said, I want him to be right now. I don't want to wait till like week 16 for him to like hit his stride. They might be like 7-6 or 7-8 by then, you know? Jack Nealon says the Bills are a stats team. They look good on paper, but make it really difficult on the field. 2020 to 2023 Bills are going to be great NFL stats trivia in a few years. Good stats. That's it. Big Mike writes, there's no hot take. Our offense is bad if we are running a hurry up, no huddle. That's a good point. John, I think you said that last week, like one of the offensive coordinators from the drought era was like, we're going to run no huddle with Trent Edwards, just randomly. They're just looking for something to get the offense going. And that's right to Big Mike's point.
You have to be good enough to do it, but this team is good enough to do it. So just do it, right?
Yeah. Well, I think he's saying that like, it doesn't matter. You don't need a good team to run a hurry up or no huddle offense. Like any team can do it. They usually do that if they're struggling. Like good teams don't need to do that. So they don't.
Well, the Bills need to do it.
The Bills need to do it, sir. That's kind of sad. Greg said we were a suspect team before tonight, and now with more injuries, it's over. That sounds like John's burner account. It's over. It's over. Colby Pleasance writes, defense was sleepwalking, but it doesn't help that the offense is literally Diggs and Allen. Ashton says, I cannot sit here and watch Ken Dorsey another week. This team may not make the playoffs, and I put it solely on him. Yeah, the Bills can't do anything, though, at this point. I mean, unless they get Josh McDaniels. But I think part of Josh McDaniels' contract, and most contracts, I believe, as head coaches, is that if you're going to keep making the guaranteed money, I think you can take a job as a coordinator, though. You just can't take another job as a head coach, right? So, yeah, I think he could do that. I don't really want Josh McDaniels, but he's like the only guy that's available. Mike, what day is it, says, not a hot take, Not only has the team plateaued, they've regressed. The only thing that would make me have hope for the future is if Terry fires the GM and coach tomorrow. Unlikely, so at year's end. Dude, I was ready to give Brandon Bean another contract extension after this week, after all the moves he made. You know how many teams in the NFL would be begging for the moves that the Bills made? So I'm not ready to give up on McDermott. And dude, we loved McDermott when Dable was the offensive coordinator. I think you just kind of got to look at the variables. Like, have we just not liked McDermott this year because of how the offense is performing?
I think arguably the defense has gotten better, right?
Yeah.
Even despite the injuries.
Yeah, I'm not willing to put all of this on McDermott. Some of it for sure.
Yeah, there's been some questionable, like, overall things, but that could be because his time is being taken away by calling defensive plays.
Yeah. Yeah. And always like feeling like he has to maybe micromanage the offense too because of how they're underperforming. I mean, yeah, I don't know if you saw that halftime short interview with McDermott with a sideline reporter, which I wish they wouldn't even do those. Those are kind of annoying because they don't give you anything, you know? You don't really get any great information, but he was just like, yeah, the offense needs to sustain drives. The offense needs to do this. He wasn't saying a whole lot about the defense, just like, you know, it's kind of where his mind was at. The offense is underperforming and he knew it.
You got to score 30 points in this league.
Let's see. What did they score the week before with the Buccaneers? Plus, by the way, the Bills had like a long week. They had a week and a half to prepare for this. So, the Bills scored 24 points against the Buccaneers. They scored, was it 25 points against the Patriots? It was like one of the worst teams in the NFL, like you said, John. And they scored 14 points against the Giants. Like, this is an underperforming offense for sure. And a lot of it is held up. Like, who mentioned the stats? Somebody mentioned the stats earlier. Jack Nealon. Jack Nealon said the stats. And it's like, it's true. Like, the Bills up until a few weeks ago were like third in the NFL in points for, but they were propped up by like three games where they just blew out their opponents.
It feels a lot like last year.
Yeah, you're right. It does feel a lot. And what's the common denominator there? Ken Dorsey is the answer to that. Ken Dorsey. Of course, there's a lot of common denominators between last year and this year, but that's what I'm thinking of. I was happy, though. One thing I'll give Dorsey credit for is that he tried a trick play for once. We haven't seen that in, what, the entire season. We didn't even see any last season. We finally saw one, and it was a complete botch. It looked terrible.
It usually looks terrible in Tecmo Super Bowl, too.
Oh, does it? You don't call the flea flicker very often?
Well, that's a variation of the flea flicker, the way that, you know, they did the play. But that actual play is a play in Tecmo Super Bowl without the trickery involved.
It's but like the end around.
It takes so long to develop, it's not worth doing it. Like, you'd rather just change your playbook. But like a real flea flicker where it's just like running back and then he pitches it back and he throws it, like, that's cool. Because that's more likely to work than that play. But like what was it? It was like third and one. And like they're like, okay, we'll do a sneak. Push Allen over for 3 yards and get the first down. It's like, why don't you just air it out, see if you get a big player touchdown, and then if you miss it, then do that on fourth down. Like, what's the point in that?
Yeah, good point. G-Man in 08, Andrew Freeman writes, I think this team reached their peak with McDermott. If this were the NBA, he would have been gone by now. I just can't get on the fire McDermott train. I just can't. G-Man, Bills fan from SC. I mean, if any...
Yeah. Like how many names do we have to go through? Like Mike Mularkey and Chan Gailey and Doug Marone and Rex Ryan and Dick Duran. Like, all these guys that they had, they were so bad.
The Bills, he not only ended the drought, but like, you know, two seasons after that with a rookie, or not a rookie quarterback, but a second-year quarterback, they made the playoffs again. You know, like they've been one of the best teams in the AFC and in the NFL almost too, you know, in that stretch, they just haven't reached. It could easily, John, to your point, it could easily go the other way. You hire someone else thinking that you're going to get better. You could easily start dropping off. It could absolutely get worse from McDermott. In fact, it's more likely that it will be worse, in my opinion.
Yeah. If I had a pick, I would pick a better offensive play caller than getting rid of McDermott.
We don't even know if McDermott wanted Ken Dorsey. All we know for a fact is that Josh Allen wanted Ken Dorsey. So that's why he has him. And maybe that's the lesson. Maybe we don't let our franchise quarterback pick the OC.
You know? Maybe we should have Josh Allen call the plays.
A little Peyton Manning action.
Well, I mean, even Peyton Manning had an offensive coordinator. Jim Kelly had an offensive coordinator. Right? They're calling their own plays, but...
I love Josh Allen as much as the next guy. He doesn't strike me as somebody that can call his own plays.
He's a very... Are you saying he's not intelligent? He's very intelligent.
No, I'm saying, dude, when we grew up, we were watching Tom Brady, Peyton Manning dueling. You know what those guys were doing on the sidelines? Flipping through binders of plays. That's something I was going to bring up, like in my notes. Like I always, it's always remember quarterbacks sitting there. Either they're going through the binders themselves or with a coach. Like on the Bills sideline, they're never doing that. Ever.
Ever.
They're just staring off into the distance.
They're like a blank. Nobody is home.
I've only seen it in war movies, like Soldiers in the Trench. Like
shell shock.
Yeah. Do you disagree? Like
I imagine if Allen's calling the plays, he would just be like in the huddle, be like, all right, go get open.
Yeah.
Or like you run deep, you run post, you get open.
Yeah.
But am I wrong about other?
No, like, no. Good point.
The best quarterbacks that we've watched.
Well, Brady cheated, so that doesn't even count.
But even watching like Mahomes today, like he was like going on the sideline, he would go with his OC or whoever it was. They'd look at the plays and he would like point it like, yeah, you know.
Like, hey, what's the coverage? This is what I'm seeing. What are you seeing? What looks good to you? What do you want to run next? Nothing. Like
I don't
that.
Think I ever good see. Deal. I don't think ever. I have ever seen Allen look at a tablet in recent memory when on the sideline.
I'm always looking because I.
Well, because Dorsey destroyed all the tablets.
Well, maybe Dorsey needs to get his ass down on the sideline instead of staying in the booth. You know, like maybe
I'd like to see Dorsey on the sideline.
Me too. Isn't that what Dable did? Like Dable was on the sidelines, and then he decided he needed to go up in the booth, and then that was working, so he stayed up there. Right? Fucking make Dorsey. This offense, you got to change it up, man. You got to either be down there with your guys. Like I don't know. I'm still convinced that Stephon Diggs. The reason why he was pissed in the playoff game, and then like he came to camp pissed still, like or OTAs, not camp, but he came to OTAs, caused that big drama. Like he's still pissed. I'm almost 100% convinced that was because of Dorsey. Is Dorsey like he either said something to him or like nothing changed between last year and this year, and he's just like, what are we doing, guys? Like,
I believe it.
Like I'm gonna waste another year of my career. I only get like so many of them. Josep writes, his hot take is Von adds nothing right now. Yeah. Salsa Knuckles writes, Von Miller to IR. Tax writes at 716 Tax. I'm going to pray for the first time in a long time. And if they are answered, Dorsey will be fired by the time I wake up. Hey, have you guys ever done that? Like, have you guys ever prayed for something? You talk about nefarious. Or no, Schadenfreude, Mike. No, I guess that's different. This is hoping that something bad happens. What's that called? Not taking joy in others' suffering, but it's like hoping that something terrible happens. I don't know. Nefarious? I don't know. He's hoping that something nefarious happens. I don't know if I've ever prayed for that. I'm trying to think.
I only hope for that in fantasy.
Your opponents. Yeah, but do you actually pray like for that? You ever
no.
Say that?
Yeah,
that seems like the...
And even for like my own team, it's like I just hope they do like... better than the other team, right? I don't hope for injuries and shit, you know, like it's, you know.
Exactly. Back when I used to pray more, when I was a praying person a little bit more, I would always pray for like the Bills to do well. I wouldn't pray for like someone to get injured on the other team or someone to get fired from the Bills. It's just funny. I'm not saying it's wrong. It's just.
I feel like the word is malicious.
Malicious. It's what's the word I'm searching for, Mike? Not positive. Ed writes, Gabriel Davis will be an Arizona Cardinal as soon as possible. Leonard Fournette will retire before the bye week. Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer will both play in New York next year. Hyde on the Giants, Poyer the Jets. Von Miller will continue to rehabilitate and eventually do something.
New Jersey.
Yeah, New Jersey. Thank you. Thank you, John, for correcting that. So I think we're gonna end with those hot takes. Sean Nong, I think. Ken Dorsey is an inexperienced play caller and that's not able to utilize the player that we have beside Diggs. Fire Dorsey and Ken Gabe Davis. Fire Ken Dorsey and Gabe Davis into the sun. I didn't even have a problem with Gabe Davis. I don't think it was his fault necessarily.
He wasn't really targeted other than that touchdown, I think, right?
No, I don't think so.
And then, yeah, that was the face mask thing, right?
The face mask thing, yeah, that wasn't his fault. I mean, he wasn't going to catch that one no matter what, so that's probably why they didn't call it, but...
Yeah, that was, yeah.
Poorly thrown ball. Oh, I bet you, I know why. I know why he's pissed off at Gabe Davis, is because of that one play where Josh got the intentional grounding play. Gabe Davis decided not to keep running vertically, so it looked like Josh wasn't passing to anyone because it was an option route. And Gabe took the wrong option, I'm guessing, or either.
But even so, Kincaid was over the top on that play, so like there was still somebody over there. He just threw it in between the two players, but like I don't know that was. I thought that was a dumb call.
I like when they bring Gene Steratore on, and he's like, "Gene, can you see why they call it?" He's like, "Yeah, actually, they shouldn't call it because of this, this, and this." And then he completely backpedals right in the middle of his explanation to say, "Well, but I guess I can kind of see why." Just shut up, Gene. Like,
and he still managed to convince Chris Collinsworth, who was on the other side of it.
Yeah, yeah, because Collinsworth thought it was actually like it wasn't intentional grounding, right?
Right. But then he convinced him. Not, and it didn't take very much.
No. Mike's hot take was I don't like Chris Collinsworth calling games. I feel like that's a majority of people now that I think about it. I don't hate
it. That's been a thing for a while.
I don't hate Collinsworth. I just,
most of the commentators are terrible, though. That's the thing.
I just mentioned how Mike Tirico made some Shakira comment about Khalil Shakir. Like, that was awful. that was so dumb. You're just looking
I feel
to
like what's
space.
Lost in all of this is just how it's a zero sum game, and I think recognizing that might help us, right? Like it's not like setting a goal of like learning Spanish, climbing Mount Kilimanjaro. It's like no, it's like you have to learn Spanish better than the 31 other people that are trying to punch you in the face. Or you have to get to the mountain first before every other single person. Like it's like oh, we improved this year and this, or we did this. Like no. We're not sitting like other people aren't sitting still. Like every team is trying just as hard, trying like personnel, GM, front office, coaching staff, clawing, scratching. Their livelihood is on the line. So it's like in all everyone's a lot of let me rephrase. And a lot of people's comments like we haven't improved. Like everyone is desperately trying to improve. Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Exactly. No, there's no team that's given up like completely, you know, like, oh, well, it's like, well, at least those other 12 teams, they've stopped trying. Like, no, they're constantly trying to get better all the time. So you're always, the bar is always being raised. Even when you get to a certain bar, like that bar has already been raised by somebody else, right? Like that's,
yeah, but so?
That's your whole response?
Yeah. So fucking what?
Well, what the guy on X or Twitter, right, is like, oh, I get fired if I don't succeed in my job. Guy, you're going to come in Monday and just coast.
Can we
you don't
stop
have
calling
31
it?
Other people trying to attack you.
Just take your job.
For your job that day. Yeah. Right.
Can we stop saying X or Twitter? Can we just pick one? Like either just refuse to accept that it's X or just call it X and just keep saying not. Why do we have to keep saying both every single time we mention it?
Yeah, Twitter. I like to stick with Twitter.
Do whatever you want. Just call it one thing. It's like Twitter or X. Like who cares?
Why are you attacking me? I was using your standard convention. I thought that's what you liked.
I like winning. I want the Bills to fucking win a game.
Yeah, well, geez, we're not against you, man. We're not trying to take your job from you. We're not one of the 31 other teams. I agree with you. I think that there's definitely a point to be made there. You know what's funny is I was thinking I'm not a big fan of primetime games because we have to stay up so late and I don't know.
John's just rolling his eyes at me. Like, what's there possibly to disagree? Like, if there's 31 other teams, we should win the Super Bowl
yeah,
once.
Everybody's
every
trying. Everybody's trying really hard. But like, as a fan, who gives a shit about the other 31 teams? You want your team to win and do well.
But if your metric of success is Super Bowl, you're gonna always be miserable.
Yes,
always.
Yeah,
the most successful franchise in the world. You're gonna be miserable.
I've been miserable for 40 years.
As long as I've known you, you've been miserable every year, John. But I think maybe that changes.
Maybe you should do this, do the podcast sequentially, do me and then John or John and then me. Then you can put them together.
Oh, you mean just do one full podcast with just John and then one with your responses and see.
No, I mean,
it'll be like the podcast will be like, it'll be like, you know, Bills lose to Bengals 24-18. And in parentheses, it'll be like John's version, you know, instead of like Taylor's version. And then the other one will be like Mike's version. And see, yeah.
There's just so much death and destruction in the world. And like we're in such an enviable position, like 0.000 humans to ever live. Like I can't get that upset that.
Well, this podcast isn't about that. This is about
out of
this.
31. So anytime they don't win the Super Bowl, it's just going to be like, why would anyone want to come in and listen? They would just want to kill themselves after listening to us.
Well, I think that this is a good break from like all the terrible things that are happening in the world. Maybe I like focusing on the bad things that are happening with my team, because if I stop doing that, then I actually have to think about the world around me. Sometimes like ignorance is bliss in that realm, because I'll read like news articles and I'll just get depressed. But then I can focus like that anger and negativity on my sports team. It's like,
you can get depressed a different way.
Yeah. Well, that's a depression that I can actually deal with, right? Like I can try to find some sort of solution in my head of like how the Bills can get better. I can't think of like, I can't solve the Israeli, you know, Palestine conflict in my head, but I can think, well, fire Dorsey, boom. Like, you know, like that's tangible. That's something I can grasp and be like, yeah, then things will be better, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, just like an assassination, right? The same thing.
Well, now that sounds nefarious.
Fire that guy.
Fire that guy. Just shoot that guy from. Why did anyone ever assassinate Hitler, right? Like, yeah, you know, I was thinking, so with primetime games, like the older I get, it's so funny. We used to like pray for primetime games when we were younger, when we had season tickets and stuff like that. And now that I'm older, I'm like, like it stinks staying up late sometimes. Like, of course, we stay up a little bit later to do the podcast, but I'm sure I'd be scrolling on social media right now if we weren't recording. But I remember thinking like, oh, the one good thing about it not being a 1 p.m. game is that you get your whole Sunday. Like you could do whatever you want. Like you could do things. You can get things done. You could rake the leaves. You could, you know, put away that stuff you've been trying to put away. You could, you know, fix your bike. You could do whatever. Like we took the kids to their first movie today, like at a movie theater. And I remember thinking like, that was a cool experience. And like, man, if I was watching a Bills game right now, I probably wouldn't, you know, think to do that. And I was thinking also, you know, on a different level, it's like, man, people that don't follow sports or the NFL, specifically sports, just maybe just in general sports, is that like they don't have that feeling of like one out of 31 team or 32 teams, you know, they have that one chance. Like they walk around like there's so much less stress in their lives, don't you think? I mean, we just talked about how depressing some of those things were. The team, one out of 32 teams, are constantly trying to get better. You're clawing over each other. Just when your team gets to a certain spot, there's always other teams that are nipping at their heels or bypass or, you know, getting ahead of you, leapfrogging you. Sometimes I think I could never be a person that doesn't like any sports whatsoever, but I bet those people are, they seem to be happy. No.
Yeah. Can't wait to get up in 4 hours.
All right. We'll end this one. So thank you guys all for listening. I know this wasn't a fun time. We tried to make some light of it as we always do on Circling the Wagons for that sort of stuff, because, you know, we got to joke around about it or else we'll just be upset and depressed the entire time. But real quick, I'm going to give away a quick shirt from our T Public store. If you haven't checked out our T Public Bills store, which I don't understand why you wouldn't want to buy a new Bills shirt at this moment. why wouldn't anyone after the great game that we just watched? But if you leave a review for us on our Circling the Wagons podcast feed, we put you in a list each week for a giveaway. And this one goes to Andrew Ensing. That's Andrew Ensing. You are the winner this week. Shoot me a message, email, DM me over Twitter, John, Twitter, and or Instagram or Facebook. Email, message us there and let me know which Bills design you want, and we'll send one over to you. So again, this episode is brought to you by the Twin Spire Sportsbook at the DeLago Resort and Casino. Any final thoughts, John, Mike, before we end this the spectacular, just a real uplifting podcast about this loss to the Bengals 24-18.
Speaking of t-shirts, remember the, I don't know who did it, but the Just One Before I Die Bills t-shirt? That was a good one. Maybe if you like had some geared toward that at this point in time.
I do have a Just One Before I Die t-shirt.
Oh, perfect.
stole that idea. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure it's just different enough.
It's I think so. I like to think so. It's one of my favorite shirts. One of my favorite shirts that I got, just one before I die. Made so much sense.
And it still works.
Still hoping. Like, still hoping.
I got 5 years ago and I can still wear it because it
Yeah, right. We bought it in our 20s. I remember thinking in my 20s, like, I got plenty of time. And now that I'm getting a little bit older, you know, thinking I'm like, man, I really hope it happens. And then it'd be like, you know, in our 60s or something, it'd be like, man, this really better happen. So that was John's final thoughts. Just one before I die. Mike, any final thoughts for you?
I think we got some very winnable games coming up. Looking forward to watching.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully we're talking about a win next week after the Broncos game. The Broncos team that beat the Kansas City Chiefs just a week ago. So let's hope we're talking about that. So signing off for John.
Whatever.
For Mike.
Go Bills.
And for me, Nate, go Bills. And we'll talk to you guys after the Bills Broncos game.
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod @gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter @ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills, Nate.
Well, listen, the whole show is called Circling the Wagons. Say no more. I love it.
So, Mike, the beard's coming in pretty good. You have any gray hair like John or I yet? Or is it too early to tell?
Too soon to tell. I feel like it comes in way too much here. Nothing really.
Yeah, not there yet. Not there yet.
Bitchy.
You got a good stash going, though, for sure. You know, the stash is coming back, especially after Top Gun.
I don't like it at all. I think in real life, it's not as, it just looks really bad here, I guess. I don't know.
It depends on what you say looks bad. It looks full is what it looks like. And then the rest will come in, too. You're like, I wish all of this was coming through and this would come in less, right?
Yeah. I should have shaved after two days here.
Only there, though, right? Like only the mustache portion of it yet. Yeah. Like, it's coming in, though. Are you going to do the whole month of November or just until like you get
sick? I think as soon as I have something where someone will see me at work, I'm going to let it go.
But as soon as that happens, it's going to stop itching. That's the problem. And then you're like, well, I don't want to ever start it over again because
that's,
I don't like.
That's when it starts to. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's when you gotta keep with it.
But like, people will think, oh, he's growing a beard, not like, oh, he's just a lazy piece of shit.
They think you're a lazy piece of shit for those first 2 or 3 weeks. They do.
Because that's what I feel like.
That's what they thought it might.
No, everybody knows. In November, a lot of people let it go.
Not November's the time. Be like, I support, what is it, prostate cancer awareness?
And then if it works, then you can keep it. If it doesn't, then get rid of it, right? It's like a perfect opportunity to try it out.
I think it's more the reason that that's why it was started. Because people would be like, I always wanted to grow a beard. Like, this is the perfect, it's a full month, you know? It's not like it happens. It's not like it's like, you know, awareness week, or else people would be like giving up real quick every year. But yeah.
Isn't November also November?
Yes. So you grow a beard and you you hold on to that. Yeah. I'm glad you mouthed that out just in case. If anybody's listening at this point and they heard that part, like, they don't care. They're just like, yeah. It's funny that those two things coincide, though, somehow.
Did I ever tell you guys, like, it was like late in the week at work, and we're like, oh, we're going to all come in with like mustaches on Monday or whatever. And then one guy at work is like, nah, no, you guys aren't. And then like a Sunday, everybody's taking pictures of their mustaches. And he's like, okay, all right, I'll come in too. And then everybody shaved. He came in with a mustache.
That's good.
That's hilarious.
Oh man, it was great. He went across the street to Wegmans to get a razor. He shaved at work.
He shaved at work? Oh, man.
So good.